This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
What the hell? Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No, let me carry these, all right? They're my grandfather's.
Welcome back to the third episode of Who's Your Caddy? I'm your host, Matt Ostick. Alongside me, fellow host, Mac Farley. Today we're going to talk about this past weekend at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, one of the more fun events on tour. A big win by Ricky. Very interesting win, to be honest. The tournament was more interesting than the Super Bowl was. We'll also talk about a couple rulings that came into play. We'll also talk about Matt Wolf. Very good PGA Tour debut. He's an amateur that plays at Oklahoma State, so keep your eyes on him. We'll also talk European Tour golf, Saudi Arabia, some pretty interesting takes from that, whether it was DJ winning to Sergio, as well as a couple different political viewpoints on that, just because Saudi Arabia is a very interesting place in the politics world. Mac will talk a little bit about what we had. We had Austin Kottke on. Fellow St. John's golfer, very good story about them at a Division I golf tournament and a guy who plays on tour now. Mac, anything about that?
Yeah, Matt, pumped to be back here for week three. The Caddy Shack has been heating up. A lot of live bets were placed as Ricky was falling apart. We were tracking that live. Like you said, we have local legend Austin Kottke with a great story from inside the ropes at the Big Ten tournament a couple years ago that we'll get into. I want to give a shout out to my boy Ricky Fowler. A lot of guys calling him BDR for Big Dick Rick.
Love it.
And in addition, we get into another topic that doesn't get talked about too much. You know, should the tour have an all-star break? So we'll touch on that. We'll see if that's a realistic possibility. A lot of guys like to see how far these guys can hit it with Matt Wolf and Cameron Champ starting to kill the ball. So excited to get into it.
Yeah, a couple other things we didn't record last week. I was out of town. I was actually at a snow golf tournament up in North Dakota. You guys probably are wondering what we're doing up here in Minnesota with no golf. That's what we do. We adapt. So I was up there, and then we'll just talk about this week, AT&T Pro-Am at Pebble Beach. So
that's right. But that being said, we did not forget about Torrey Pines. Tiger did play. You might have recalled I did pick Justin Rose that week. So we'll touch on that briefly, but we're looking forward to this weekend at Pebble.
Awesome. Winning this week on tour at the Waste Management Phoenix Open was Ricky Fowler. Finished at 17 under. Runner-up was Brandon Grace. He finished at 15 under. Kind of had a Sunday charge, but just didn't pull through in the end. Ricky, very interesting Sunday by him. Played very well in the first three rounds, but the fourth round was kind of typical Ricky, but luckily enough, he had a big enough lead that he built up that he pulled through. So Mac, what'd you think about Ricky's performance on Sunday?
Yeah, obviously Ricky is one of my favorite players on tour. He takes a lot of flack for not having a lot of wins. This is his fifth win. And you know what? He looked shaky. Did he choke? I don't think so. A lot of guys consider choking when you're missing short putts. Matt, what was he in strokes gained this week?
Yeah, Ricky this week gained just over 9 strokes, strokes gained putting. Very good week in that aspect. And even on Sunday, he was ranked second. Gained 3 strokes on Sunday with the putter. Actually, JT lost almost 2 strokes. So that was a difference on Sunday. Ricky had a very unfortunate event when he dropped his ball on the 11th hole. Dropped it. It finally settled. Ricky goes to check out where he should try and land the chip shot on the green. And the ball rolls back into the water, costing him another shot. So in that aspect of things, like, very unlucky by Ricky right there. Just everything going against him.
But I tell you what, he handles adversity, I think, better than anyone on the PGA Tour. I know he's one of Arnold Palmer's favorites. The guy's a class act all around. Never looks phased. Always, you know, stays consistent. Maybe one of the prettiest putting strokes on tour, too.
Yeah, very free-flowing. It's going to be good under pressure. It's just, you know, he kind of had a couple loose shots. I think on the third hole, he darn near shanked one, then he had to hit it off the cart path, made probably a 20-footer for par on a par five. So shaky in that aspect, but at the end of the day, he did get it done.
You know, I can't imagine. We'll get into Sergio Garcia. I know a lot of guys are tweeting at us with some of the footage that's leaking on Sergio. But I can't imagine what Sergio would be doing if he had that break. Was it on hole 12?
Hole 11. Hole 11. It would have been a very animated Sergio. Let's just say that.
Might have been a full bag in the water, and Ricky chips it up and makes a bomb for triple.
Yeah. No, Ricky, very good bounce back on that. Probably the best triple he's ever made. So
then post an Instagram after the win with singing "We Are the Champions." Yeah. Just what a guy.
I love that. I love that. Are you in the future, say Ricky has another lead by, you know, maybe three or four shots, are you confident with him closing out the deal yet?
You know, my confidence meter hasn't altered since coming into this week. It's, you know, I think it's still a coin flip. I don't think this is a bad or a good sign for Ricky. He was able to battle back. He finished a couple under in his final holes, and he was rock solid with the putter, which is typically the telltale sign of nerves getting to him.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you on that. Kind of a 50-50. He did end up finishing the week, obviously, on the top of the leaderboard. A lot having to do with his performance in the first three rounds, you know, going 7-under, 6-under, 7-under.
Yeah, that should be the story this week is he got to 20-under through three rounds, and on the PGA Tour, I don't care who you are, that's hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, the course did change on Sunday. Completely different weather.
I think the low score on Sunday was 3-under par, and Ricky shot 3-over. With a triple and a double, first player on tour since 1983 to do that.
So, I mean, Ricky, minus a couple holes, bad breaks. At the end of the day, you know, it wasn't as bad as it seemed, so I'm glad Ricky pulled it out. I am a Ricky fan, so that was cool to see. A very interesting ruling from this week was one that was made on Denny McCarthy, very similar to the Haotong Lee ruling last week at the European Tour event, where his caddy was, quote-unquote, from the European Tour, lining up his player. The player hadn't even addressed the ball yet, and they were saying that the caddy was lining him up. So basically, these players are thinking that this rule, it is a new rule, it's a complete joke. The ruling states the previous prohibition is extended so that once a player begins taking a stance for the stroke and until the stroke is made, the player's caddy must not deliberately stand on or close to an extension of the line of play behind the ball for any reason. This rule was kind of put into play for the LPGA more so. A lot of caddies on that tour were lining up their players on drivers, irons, even some putts. And so this rule really didn't affect the PGA Tour or, you know, any men's tour. And so this, I mean, like Justin Thomas was about to be penalized for it on, I think it was Saturday. Mm-hmm. Same with Ricky. Denny McCarthy was penalized, and they took the penalty away from him. Because the PGA Tour does think that this is kind of a joke too. So
yeah, Matt, after the round, good friend of the pod, Justin Thomas, replied to a tweet by Brad Schneider. Justin Thomas said, "This is ridiculous. The fact this is a penalty is mind-blowing. At USGA, this needs to be changed ASAP. There's nothing about this rule that makes the game better." And, you know, believe it or not, they actually did change the rule the next day.
Yeah, so I know the USGA is working on trying to fix it. It was more of like a PGA Tour kind of local rule right now, where they're saying that they're not going to penalize players unless if it's like super deliberate. They were saying that the new rules were supposed to help the game. This is one of those rules that just has not helped the game at all and really hurt it. So we'll see what happens with that, and we'll keep you guys updated. The last thing we want to talk about this week is Oklahoma State sophomore Matt Wolf, one of the best college players, PGA Tour debut, had a pretty good week.
A lot of guys calling him the biggest phenom since Tiger Woods. Like Matt said, sophomore in college, started the week, got with the amateur exemption, notable other amateur exemptions in this event in the past. Phil Mickelson and John Rahm both came onto the scene lightning quick. I'd be surprised if this guy doesn't turn pro soon. He hits the ball like a maniac, crazy swing, very noticeable. I'm sure, you know, a lot of guys are talking about his action with the kind of a knee pop at the start.
Yeah, in a way, I don't want to compare it to Jim Furyk, but the club is kind of moving around like Furyk, you know, very upright, and then but he just powers through the ball. He's super long. Some of his longest drives of the week, I think his like 20th shortest drive of the week was still over like 330.
Has a lot of charisma, lot of impact. It's fun just to watch this guy or hear this guy hit the ball. Started the week with a 67, and he started a second round 300 through three, cracked the top 10 for a little bit there. Fell off in the weekend, 72-72 for a tied for 50th finish, but look to see a lot more of this guy in the coming weeks as we cover some of the college golf season and then into the summer.
Yeah, I could see him playing in maybe U.S. Open too this year if he qualifies for that. Maybe British Open, or even turning pro at the end of the Oklahoma State season. So,
yeah,
it'll be fun to watch him. You'll notice him on tour here in the really near future. Next, we want to talk a little bit about what happened over in Saudi Arabia. First time event as a
controversial event,
very controversial. DJ ended up winning. People were kind of questioning why he went over there. Obviously, he probably had a very big appearance fee. I probably could put a number to it, maybe $3 to $4 million just to show up.
Also, Justin Rose, world number one, shows up, misses the cut after his win at Torrey.
He's probably a little hungover, probably hanging out in the caddy shack. DJ ended up winning by two shots over who's your caddy favorite, Hao Tung Lee. DJ shot 19 under, birdied the last two holes, so very good finish for DJ. 608-yard par 5 to finish. DJ went driver 8-iron.
Yeah, Matt, this is just a classic DJ win. I don't think he made a facial expression all week. He showed up, grabbed his appearance fee, walked around like a menace for four rounds, grabbed his cash, and got on his private jet with Paulina back to the States.
And Brooks. And Brooks is Instagram model girlfriend. So good week for those two. Brooks was so-so. He barely made the cut. Still made some money. But all that mattered at the end, he for sure got an appearance fee too.
Other notables, Ian Poulter tied for sixth. Bryson DeChambeau with some questionable comments supporting the move to Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Tied for sixth as well at 11 under.
I really feel, so basically what Bryson said at the start of the week was how he was proud of the European Tour and Saudi Arabia for putting on the event, basically growing the game. And I honestly don't think that Bryson pays any attention to world politics.
He's deep in his science books, but I don't know if he pays any attention to world news.
Yeah, he might know a little bit about climate change, but I think that's probably about it. Bryson ended up playing, 11 under. So
tied for sixth.
Decent week for him.
With all that said, biggest story of the week, Sergio Garcia getting disqualified for reportedly destroying five different greens. Apparently no video footage of this.
No video footage. Sounds corrupt like the Saudi Arabian government. But at the end of the day, I think he maybe was destroying the greens a little bit. He also got an appearance fee. I think his was upwards of $1 million, but disqualified by the European Tour. He's not going to get suspended. Some are questioning that why isn't he suspended? A Golf Channel writer said he should be suspended for the rest of the year from all tours. Shooter McGavin would say, kick him off the tour, Doug. So I don't know.
I mean, I love that take. I think, Sergio Garcia has been able to change his public, perception over the last 10 years. And, at least from a political publicity standpoint. But I think this goes and reverts it all back to kind of early Sergio, hot-tempered, kind of a baby out there, Matt.
Yeah. There was a video that surfaced of him in the bunker. He hit one to about probably 8 feet out of the bunker and just started swinging at the sand in the bunker.
A lot of hot-tempered Spanish in there. Not really sure what he's saying, but I can't imagine it was very viewer appropriate.
Yeah, someone tried to translate it, and it was not appropriate. So, Sergio, I actually am a Sergio fan, but not a good look for Sergio. Maybe we'll have him on the pod to rebrand his image a little bit.
Yeah, we're working with his team on that.
Yeah, we're trying. So, a very good week in Saudi Arabia for the Saudi Arabians, but not for the rest of world politics.
All right, we're excited to have the first ever interview on the Who's Your Caddy podcast. I had the privilege of sitting down with Austin Cocky. Fair warning, our waitress was pretty generous. We may have been a little overserved for the interview, but nonetheless, great story from Austin. All right, now joining the podcast, local legend Austin Cocky. He's got a good story for us inside the ropes at the Gopher Invite, a prestigious tournament in the Midwest. Austin, great to have you on the pod.
Mac Farley, really glad to be here. I just wanted to hand off a story that I had about a couple of, I think it's three, pretty good golfers that I played with at the Gopher Invite. Pretty prestigious tournament in the Midwest. I mean, the national championship won it in 2017, and they ended up Oklahoma, one of the best teams in the country, won it, ended up winning the national championship. Pretty prestigious tournament. And played it in 2018. Played with a couple guys. One of them to note was Sahith Fagala. Fagala?
Where did he play?
Interesting last name. Played for Pepperdine. Guy from Pepperdine. Okay. He played, and I heard an interesting story about him. He has played in a couple of tour events. One of them, my assistant coach at the time, told me about he would show up at a tournament. And one specific time, he showed up, started just hitting it terribly at the range. You know, he was hitting thins, chunks, skulls. He was hitting shanks.
This is pre-round?
Multiple shanks. Yeah, he's warming up. He's warming up in the range. You know, it's a college event. Warming up with all the other teams. He's hitting laterals, hitting everything. He looks like an amateur out there.
Straight shanks.
Absolute laterals. Hosels, making contact, all this stuff. So his assistant coach sees him, and he's kind of getting worried because he was a pretty good recruit. He's a freshman at the time, pretty good recruit. They thought he was going to be their ace in the hole. He's getting a little bit worried. He goes and talks to the head coach and goes, hey, I don't know what this guy, he's not hitting it pretty well at the range. You might want to talk to him, make sure he's doing all right. So the head coach walks over to him at the putting green just in time to see Mr. Sahith here hitting a pretty aggressive thin right across the green. I mean, he's got about 10, 20 feet to the hole, and he hit the ball 30 yards at least, just skidding across the green. Absolutely scorching the greens. And the head coach walks up and goes, Sahith, are you doing right? I've heard you're not hitting it that well. And Sahith, the guy has the audacity. He's like, yeah, coach, don't tell anybody, but I'm doing this on purpose. And the coach looks at him. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, no, I'm just trying to psych these guys out. I was like, why? He's like, well, I know I'm playing with all the ones. I want these guys to be psyched out, thinking that they're playing with a scrub over here. He's like, really? He goes, nah, I'm doing this all on purpose, coach. Don't worry, I'm good to go. Guy ends up going out. He almost wins it, top 10. Crazy topper to the story, almost a cherry on top. He goes to a tour event. Guy's played in multiple tour events. He can't be any older than 20. And he's doing the exact same thing on the range, warming up for a
tour. On the PGA Tour.
On the PGA Tour for a tour event. He's hitting straight laterals. If any of you have seen Tin Cup, him warming up for the U.S. Open, that's about what he was doing. But they were on purpose. He's hitting straight laterals, almost hitting tour pros in the ankle. They're low, they're scorching, and they're straight right. And he's hitting them. And then after the coach knew about it, he's like, whatever, this is what the kid does. But what the kid goes and does during this tour event, he goes out and takes 16th. He warms up hitting shanks, fins. I'm not even sure he put a ball in the cup to warm up. And he ends up taking 16th in a tour event. He couldn't have been any older than 18 or 19. Because when I played with him when he was 20, he did it at
freshman
least.
Freshman in college.
Freshman in college. He's 18 years old. The guy might have not even popped his first cherry yet. He's just taking 16th at a tour event after warming up by hitting shanks, and he thought he was intimidating tour pros. The guy has spunk. He's got the X factor. One of the craziest guys I've ever met. You never expect him to do that on the range. But enough about him. He's too much. He's a guy's an enigma. You don't know what he's doing. The other two guys I was playing with, one of them from Penn State, the year prior to me playing with him, he won his regional to make it into nationals as an individual. I could not say for certainty, but I'm pretty sure he may have been 10 under par, maybe more, for four rounds. And he won by a significant margin. to get into Nashville's individual. He's a pretty good golfer. Not bad. The guy couldn't have been more than a 5'8". Short, stocky guy. Hits about 40 yards farther than me or Mac Farley could ever hope to. The other guy I played with from Virginia Tech, absolute husky guy, unit. And he talks to you like he's talking to the Queen of England. Utmost respect for this guy. Walks up to every tee. I don't think any of the three guys I played with ever even thought about taking less than driver. They hit driver. I think I played with them for 54 holes, and they hit 54 minus 16. I mean, whatever the number that is, they hit driver on every hole other than a par three. Every single hole at Windsong Farm at the Gopher Invite. It's not a course that you could take driver on every hole. But this guy, he was telling us a little, we're, you know, talking, joshing around for, just talking while you're playing golf. And he said, yeah, I took, he was in a quarter, he was a quarter finalist at the year prior's U.S. Amateur. So he was one of the last 8 guys at the U.S. Amateur. And just hanging out, playing at the Gopher Invite. And one of the conversations that I, myself, was not really a part of, I was just listening behind while I was looking for my ball in the fescue. They were talking about the tour starts that all three of them had this year, which tour events they were choosing to play, and which tour events that they were declining. All three of them had declined a few tour events to play in.
Wow.
So needless to say, they were a group of pretty accomplished golfers. I think Sahith had a pretty average tournament by his own words. He was probably 5-6 under. Don't think he ever shot over 70, and probably ended up taking 5th, maybe probably 3rd. I think 3rd would be my good guess at the tournament.
So he thinks everyone's watching him on the range, and he's just shanking him, hitting the scoreboard on the right.
Oh, absolutely. After he hits a couple of hosels straight right, he knows everyone's looking at him. And after he's done it a few times, and after he's been a little bit accomplished, he knows...
Have you ever tried to intentionally shank it?
You know, I've never... Well...
What a psycho move.
I've done a few things while I've been under the influence of the creature. You know, I've done a few things just to have fun, but never have I, warming up for a golf tournament, let alone a PGA Tour event as an amateur, purposely shanked a golf 19 ball.
19 years old.
Purposely shanked a golf ball to
and
try...
Taken six, and taken top 20 to...
To try and intimidate these 30-year-old guys who are seasoned vets on the PGA Tour. Never once have I done that. And ended up taking 16th in the event. Couldn't have been more than 19 years old.
Wow. What a take inside the ropes with Austin Cockey. Great story.
Just one of the deals.
All right. Well, Austin, great to have you on the pod. We'll grab you a water and show you the door. Now, that being said, Matt, we wish you could have been here at the interview. We understand you were playing some snow golf up north.
Yeah, a little snow golf in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota. Town, I think it was the size of like 40 people. Closest interstate was 60 miles away. It was on this farm that was probably the size of around 1,000 acres. It was on a lake, frozen lake, as well as some farmland. So what it was about a 9-hole golf course. Some holes were, you know, maybe 40 to 50 yards long. Others were around maybe 150 yards long. And what you do is you bring one club, a tennis ball, and you go play golf. So it's all out in the snow. It was pretty awesome. We'll actually upload some footage onto our Instagram page and Twitter page just of kind of what it looks like. So I ended up taking 3rd, I believe. It was 3rd or 4th. I shot a 2-round total, or a 2 9-hole round total of 94. Nice. Which is actually a decent score. There's only one par 3, mostly par 4s and 5s. So it was really hard this year because there was a lot of snow, so the tennis ball really didn't roll. A good friend of the pod, guy we'll play golf with a lot this summer, Joel Oxton, finished 2nd. He beat me by 3 or 4 shots, and then an old 60-year-old guy took care of him by like 4 shots. So he had the game figured out. He kept it low in the grass, not in the snow, also on the ice. So it was a great time up in North Dakota, about as much fun as you can have on a town of 40 people. And so, yeah, a lot of card games we played. It's at this guy's hunting shack, so really fun time. I wish I could have been there for the Austin Kottke interview, though. Sounded like a blast, and
we hope to have him on the pod again soon. We know.
Honestly, we wouldn't be against to probably having him on full time either, but he lives a little far away from us to do that. But we'll hope to have him on, you know, maybe every other week or so. So good guy. Wish I was there. Next, we go to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Always a fun event. Always probably 20 or so celebrities playing. Larry Fitzgerald won the amateur portion last year. People were calling him a sandbagger, but I've caddied for Larry before at Interlochen Country Club, and I don't think he was sandbagging. I just think he had a phenomenal week. So I think he won with Kevin Streelman, so the Pro-Am portion of that. Defending champ last year was Ted Potter Jr. Guy's a mini tour legend. Probably the only course on tour that he could win on because he hits it nowhere. Young lefty. So, big guy. Not a big guy. Short but fat. Kind of like me. So, he ended up winning last year. Kind of ran away with it. But this year should be interesting. They've had a ton of rain out on the West Coast. So, it'll be interesting to see what the course plays like. Considering we do go there for the U.S. Open later on in the year, it'll play completely different. But, yeah, it should be interesting to see what we see this week. And this will probably bring us to our caddy shack.
Yeah, Matt. I mean, not a lot to talk about this week on the Euro Tour or the mini tours. We do like to follow those quite a bit. This week, I believe they're in Australia. Not a great field. Not a lot of betting slips being placed over in Australia. So we're going to stick to the PGA Tour this week, but we'll keep our eyes on the Euro Tour.
So this week, pretty interesting week in terms of gambling-wise. The favorite is Dustin Johnson at 6-1. Don't love that at all with him coming from Saudi Arabia. I'm guessing a little jet lag, as well as he's been accustomed to the warm weather. This week, it's going to be basically 54 and either rain or mist or a marine layer all week. So we're looking at your Gruden grinders to bet on. So for me, the first one is Spieth, 22-1 odds. He has won here in the past at this event. So I like him. He is a grinder. His form is, you know, coming around as of late. So I do like him. He struggled a little. I guess he did struggle a little bit on Sunday at Torrey Pines. So I do like him, though, at 22-1 odds, considering he is a defending champ. Love Tommy Fleetwood. English guy. Loves flighting the ball. Wind, rain. He can do whatever he wants in those conditions. So look for Tommy Fleetwood at 22-1 odds. Hasn't done much yet this year, but look for a breakout week from him. So love that. Love him to win. Another guy I like, he's been playing pretty well on tour, played on the web.com last week, is Doug Gim. 90-1 odds. He's been playing, like I said, very well. Played pretty well at Torrey Pines. Finished, I think, third last week on the web.com tour. Another guy who's just he's a grinder, makes putts. It's going to be tough greens this week with Paul Anna. So look for him. A value bet that I don't know why it is how it is, but Ted Potter Jr., 125-1 odds. You would think a defending champ would have better odds than that, or I should say worse odds. But why not throw a couple bucks on him at 125-1? And then last but not least, the storyline of the week, Ho Sung Choi. You've probably seen him. He's Instagram famous. 350-1 odds. Probably not the smartest bet. He's actually a decent player, but like I said, not the smartest bet, but why not sprinkle a little money on him? How fun would it be for him to be around on Sunday? Those are five picks that I like. Like I said, not a great betting week. Couple big name players, but not too many to really sprinkle money on. So those are my picks of the week. Matt, how about yours?
Yeah, Matt, before we get into the matchups, I want to touch on a couple of my picks as well. Like you said, kind of a tough betting week. A lot of value picks, though. You look at the last five Pebble Beach Pro-Am winners, Ted Potter Jr., Jordan Spieth, Vaughn Taylor, Brant Snedeker, Jimmy Walker. Like you said, a lot of Gruden grinders, especially with the weather. That Poana will be creeping up early. It really separates the good putters from the great and those that have a good short game. People I like this week, of the favorites, I like Jason Day at 10-1. His record here has been fantastic. He's in great form. He has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and I expect him to play really well. Another guy, former winner, Brant Snedeker, 50-1. That's a great value pick. He also has good form, and with that pop putting stroke, can avoid some of that Poana. Another guy that I like, Wyndham Clark, Oregon's finest, coming out 2 years ago onto the tour. West Coast player, loves this type of course. Another guy, Shane Lowry, another grinder, plus 4,000, 40-1. Plays really well on bad greens. New courses tend to be his favorites, but at a Pebble Beach, I think he can chip and putt with the best of them. And then lastly, Brandon Grace at 33-1. Are you kidding? He just finished tied for second. He's in great form. You know, this is a U.S. Open course. He has the lowest score ever in U.S. Open history. Look for him to play well.
Same kind of conditions, I guess, for Brandon Grace as a Waste Management, Phoenix Open. So I actually do like that pick. I kind of glanced over him, so I actually might sprinkle a little money on him too.
All right, Matt. So the three top matchups that we have, Dustin Johnson just won in Saudi Arabia versus Jason Day.
Like I said, I don't love DJ this week, but I don't love Jason Day either. I'm just not a big Jason Day fan. Cold weather, stiff back. I don't love him, so I still will probably ride with DJ. It's just about even on the matchup scale, so I'll sprinkle a little money on him to take over for Jason Day.
All right, matchup number two, we have Tommy Fleetwood and Tony Finau.
Obviously, I love Fleetwood here. I picked him to win this week. Mac, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'm going to side with you here. I think Finau is more of a fair-weather player. You know, he drives the ball great, but I think Fleetwood's got a lot more grit to him and can put up with these conditions and the greens being a little chippy out there. Also, one thing to keep in mind, it is a three-track event. They play Spyglass and Monterey Peninsula, so you got to be versatile out there and be able to hit a lot of different shots that these Euro Tour players can hit.
Last but not least, Phil versus Spieth. Who do you like?
I hate to say this, but this is a tough bet. I just don't think Spieth is playing well enough to handle it. I like his putter here, but I don't think his long game can hang in. Phil has won here four times. I'm taking Phil this week. He's shown great form and is staying fresh in his old age.
So a unique bet for me here is I actually probably will put money on Phil. I think if Spieth plays well, he'll win. However, if he doesn't play well, he's going to be way off. So that's, I mean, it's a very unique perspective just because I did pick Spieth as one of my bets to win. So I actually it's kind of a hedge in a way. So I probably will put some money on Phil in that matchup.
All right, and the best prop bet for the week, we're seeing a lot of slips come in on this one. Fan favorite, Ho-Sung Choi, over-under, tied for 50th for the week.
Ooh, this one, I could see the bright lights not getting to him. He's already Instagram famous, plays a lot on the Korean tour, Japanese tour, Asian tour.
He's a top 200 player in the world.
Yeah, so it's not like he is a nobody. I'm going to actually say he's going to probably almost get a top 25 here. It'll be interesting to see who pairs up with him for a partner for the week for the amateur portion. Aaron Rodgers said he wanted to play with him. We'll see if they end up getting paired up. They'll probably have little to no communication with one another. Maybe they'll have a translator. I don't know. So I will go Ho-Sung Choi. He will have a top 50 or better.
All right, Matty Ice. Last but not least, our final sounds offs. First topic, the Waste Management Open.
For sure better than the Super Bowl. Even though I did win money at the Super Bowl, I would have to say that pretty much everyone would actually agree with that. If they were watching the Waste Management Open, they loved it. A lot more drama. With obviously, we talked about Ricky. So whether it was your big golf fan, your average golf fan, even people who just watched the majors, they were all loving the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I talked to a lot of people, too. They were watching it basically as their Super Bowl pregame show. And then it just led right into the Super Bowl. So I thought it was awesome. Perfect golf event. I think it's won the best golf tournament three of the past 5 years. So sweet event. Better than the Super Bowl for sure.
Absolutely. Second topic is one that I was thinking of. I was watching the NHL All-Star game last weekend, and I just couldn't help but think, why doesn't the tour put something like this on? We could have a long drive competition, a putting competition. I don't know, throw a trag comp out there and have these guys hit stingers.
Yeah, no, I like that idea a lot. Maybe just, like, do a skills competition, like the skills comp that the NHL does. NBA does it, too. I would have to say that's a great idea.
Let's have a shoot. I don't know logistically if this could work. I mean, these guys are in it for the money. I don't know how you get all the world-class players to show up for something like this, but let's have an all-star break. Throw it in the middle, give these guys a break, and let's just hit some shots and have some cocktails.
Do it all-star. Call it all-star break, or even just do it like maybe tour championship. You get your best 30 players on the PGA Tour. Like Max said, long drive, and you could do like a trag comp. We're big, you know, big stingers guys, and you would have judges for that, you know, 0 through 10.
Go to some crazy U.S. Open course that's too short now, like a Marion or something like that, and have them try to hit tight fairways from 350 or do something like that.
Yeah, no, I like that idea a lot. We also want to talk about who we think is going to win the majors this year.
Preseason picks, all four majors.
Who do you got, Masters, Mac?
Masters, this is a controversial take, I know, but I'm taking Rory McIlroy. I think he's in a different mindset this year. He's proven he can win. I like his chances.
I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth, and I probably will go with Jordan for the next 20 or so years. He's got the game. He's got the grit. No matter how he's playing coming into the week, he always seems to play well. So I'm going to go with Spieth for the Masters. Obviously, that's played at Augusta National. Next up, we're going to Bethpage Black for the PGA Championship in May.
A little worried about the weather. We'll see what we get in New York in May. I'm taking Dustin Johnson, though. It's a long course. It's going to beat these guys to death. Long, rough. DJ drives it straight enough, and he can roll the rock out there.
I'm going to go defending champ, Brooks Koepka. Obviously, defending on a different course, but this completely suits his game. He comes up for the majors. He's ready to go. I couldn't see him not winning a major in 2019 here, so I'm going to go Brooks Koepka.
All right, and then we head to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Keep in mind, playing conditions might be a lot different than you'll see this weekend. But, Matt, who do you have?
I'm going to go with the guy who won by, 15 shots in 2000?
No way.
Tiger Woods.
I also have Tiger.
It's going to be firm and fast. Poana greens will grow even more come June. If you watched U.S. Am last year, it was at Pebble Beach, and the course is completely different. Guys are hitting, you know, wedges in the greens that they hit. They'll be hitting 6-irons, 7-irons into this week. So I like Tiger. He won't have to pull out the driver, even though he is hitting it pretty well right now. But I like Tiger that week.
Matt, I hate to agree with you, but I'm also taking Tiger. I think he's just going to outsmart everyone on this course. He has more history. Obviously can beat the field by large margins out there. With that being said, we head to the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. Who do you like there?
I'm going to go Tommy Fleetwood. That course is going to benefit with his game, or he's going to benefit with that course. So I like Tommy Fleetwood that week. I think he'll get his first major. He's due. As my buddy Evan Peterson would say, he's not good in the limelight. But I think he will pull it out that week.
Yeah, Matt, I have a hard time not picking Rory here, hometown hero. I think the pressure is going to be a little too much and a little too, you know, familiar for him there. People tend to struggle with the hometown courses. So I'm taking Ricky Fowler. I think he's embracing that European style golf, loves the rain. His putter will be lights out. He can putt it from 30 yards. I like the way he's playing right now, and he'll play well there.
Awesome. Love that pick of Richard Fowler too. That will be it for that segment. And basically that's it for the show. Any other things, Mac?
No, Matty Heiss, great to be back. Keep sending in your comments, feedback. I know we're getting a lot of DMs. We look at them all. We'll talk about them. Hopefully we have Austin Cocky. We have some more guests lined up, so stay tuned. Potentially some mini tour players coming on to talk about their experience and what life is like out there.
Awesome. Well, sounds good. Thanks. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I hit balls for maybe 20 minutes, put a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range.
Said she tired little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20 inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the liquor. G-Wagon, 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 G-Wagon. All the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys. 720S pumping Fallout Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning. Back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning. See the hit glue in my mouth and I be grinning. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. 100 deep when I roll like the army. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying why. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. You and your grandma probably know me. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying why. Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. Wow. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow. Trunk in the front like a shit Dumbo, yeah. Cut the roof off like a nip tuck. Pull up to the house with some big butts. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the. When I got guap, all of y'all disappear. Before I drop Sonny, none of y'all really care. Now they always say congratulations to the kid. And this is not a 40, but I'm pouring out this shit. You serve a lot, but I got more now. Made another hit, cause I got bored now. Always going for it, never pump fourth down. Last call, Hail Mary, Prescott, touchdown, eh. Hey.